Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, bringing you tales, tips, discussions, and great interviews led by two veterans of the poker home game scene. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Robbie and Bruce.
As we close in on the end of the year holiday season, we're reminded of all the things we're thankful for, and at the Top Pair Podcast, it's for you, our loyal listeners. Here's another great episode. We talk about the results of a charity tournament hosted locally, benefiting two worthy organizations. We clarify the details from one of our listener emails that we covered in our last episode. And we have a great interview on tap with 2014 November Niner Billy Pappas, the foosball champion turned poker millionaire. Let's wrap up with a question heard most frequently in two of my favorite casino card rooms. Hey, Chelsea, have you delivered your list to Santa?
Hey, how you running? Beats, suckouts, triumphs, and tragedies from last week's home game play.
Hey, Robbie, we actually got an email in the mailbag this week that I wanted to spend some time addressing. It came from a listener that we haven't heard from before. Obviously, listen to our last show where we explored two or three emails from different listeners. The one email that he was responding to was one where the listener didn't want to be identified, but there was a question on whether he'd mucked his hand or the villain in the story had mucked his hand, the host wanted to turn around and pay him even after he left and says, no, I don't think it was handled right or anything. And we explored that issue last time.
Right.
But
pretty complex, right.
Yeah, but this email doesn't really center in on that issue, but it does pick up a point where we've actually talked about this before. So let me read his, and then we'll quote from last week's and kind of clarify that for folks. Mm-hmm. This comes from Ken in Iowa. And he says, guys, I love the show. Has to make a correction to the discussion of the home game where a hand may or may not have been folded and the host offering to pay the player back. The wrong question was asked. The question should not have been whether or not the straight was folded by the villain, but why whether it was decided that the straight beat a full house. The hero clearly had a full house in this situation. Mm-hmm. Here's why. The villain says, I know you have a full house. This means there was a pair on the board for the full house to be possible. The hero showed a set. This specifically means the hero had a pocket pair that makes three of a kind with a card with a pair on the board. So you can see the hero had a set with a pair, which means he had a full house. Mm-hmm. Anyway, keep up the good work. So we appreciate that, Ken. And that had me confused, too. So I had to go back and reread the original email. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read a portion of it here. He starts out detailing, our hero does the details of the game, and he says, from the big blind, I had queen six suited. I called all the way, that was called all the way around to me, so I just checked so I could see the flop. I flopped a pair of queens and turned a set, which means he turned another queen. Mm-hmm. There was a possible straight on the board, but I went with my read and went over the top with my set. The villain paused for a minute and says, well, I think you got me again. And turns his hand head up, showing the straight, and threw them face up to the dealer. Says, I know you've got the full house. And I showed him we only had a set. Well, I think this comes down to an often confusing set of terms, and that's set versus trips. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that before, and Ken was right, that a set means you've got a pair in your hand, and one comes on the board to give you, you know, three of the same cards, mm-hmm. and that is a set. Right. And in true, if you had a set pair in your hands and the queen came on the board, the only way you could get a full house would be for two of the remaining three cards to be suited up.
Right, for the board to pair.
Board to have paired with the remaining card, you know, other than the third queen that gave you your set. What this listener actually had, and we didn't pick it up last week either, was trips.
Mm-hmm.
Trips meaning I've got a card in my hand and two of the same card come out on the board. So he had queen six in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
A queen came out on the flop, which gave him a pair, and then a queen came out on the turn, which gave him trips.
Right.
And so with that way, you don't need a pair on the board to have a full house because his other card was a six. And if, one of the other two cards on the flop or if the car on the river would have been a six, then that would have given him a full house even though there wasn't a pair on the board because he had trip queens and then he paired his other whole card, which would have been the six. So
right.
I hope that makes sense. It gets complicated, but it's basically the it comes down to the definition of a set versus the definition of drift.
You got to know your terminology. Especially when you're telling a bad beat story.
Exactly. And having it make sense. So we appreciate that, Ken, and that clarifies that, and I hope that makes sense to folks. But, boy, we love to hear from listeners that are listening and kind of following along and catch those things and then report them back to us. So please let us know. We're at feedback@toppair.net.
And we're also pretty active on social media. By all means, come and visit us anytime on our Facebook page. Look for the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. And we're also on Twitter @toppair.
Well, I think we mentioned, too, last episode, or it might have been episode before, about holiday time of year. It's a good time to have tournaments with maybe a charity aspect in it. And I think we even linked to an article that you had, Robbie, on your card player blog.
Mm-hmm. Card player lifestyle.
And talked about tournaments. Mm-hmm. And we've had one here in our group every year for, I think this might be the fourth year. Mm-hmm. And just want to kind of just give an example of what happened, just so people that are thinking about doing those, and it's still not too late, to have one to get into this holiday season. It was a three-table tournament, no-limit hold'em tournament, with a $40 buy-in and some rebuys. And of the $40 buy-in, $10 of it went to the food bank. Mm-hmm. And it started with 10,000 in chips. And it also allowed for you to receive an additional 5,000 chips in 1,000 chip increments if you brought in unwrapped toys or canned food.
The two
target charities was Toys for Tots and the food bank. So, you couldn't bring in a carload and get $40,000 of starting chips, but you could get up to 5,000 extra, 1,000 mm-hmm. for every unwrapped toy and 1,000 for every piece of canned food. Mm-hmm. And then there was some rebuys, and a good portion of the rebuy went to the cash went to the food bank.
That's
so
really wonderful. Yeah.
The results, after all was said and done, is that 50 toys in this three-table tournament,
wow.
50 toys were collected, and over 100 pounds of food, and $410.
That's really awesome. So, well, from just three tables? That's really great.
Yeah, just a three-table home tournament. I mean, I'm sure everybody was pretty generous and probably threw in some more money in that, but... Mm-hmm. That's great. It was a fun time. Everybody got together, had some food and camaraderie and some drinks and played a good, three-table tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And two great causes, the Toys for Tots and the food bank. They benefited from toys, food, and a cash donation.
That's awesome. That's really wonderful and great to hear. You know, I'm always have been and, continue to be very much into, the power of charitable giving with poker. And you don't need to be a professional player. You don't need to be someone who's playing all the time. It's so long as that's on your mind to be giving back. I think it's just a wonderful thing, a good thing you can do with poker.
Right. And it can be very effective as evidenced by the results of just that one tournament. So there's still time to get it going here for the holiday season.
Yep. So, we have plenty of holidays here in Israel, too. We do the Hanukkah thing. One of the things about Hanukkah, we like to say it's about the geld, which in Yiddish, it means money, right? So, of course,
sounds like you said guilt.
No, not guilt, geld, G-E-L-T.
That's a Mormon thing. The Mormon thing is the guilt.
The guilt. But, so Hanukkah is all about the geld, which is money. And, of course, which means, we got to play some poker. So what I hope to be doing soon, haven't done it in a really long time, but I'm going to be having some time off soon for a few weeks. So I'm hoping to get together a nice big multi-table event, maybe three, even four tables of players as a cash game. So obviously people have heard of charity poker tournaments. What we like to do in the cash game is just, we never do any sort of rake or anything like that, but for charity, we will. So often we'll take, we play in shekels, so get to what that's worth in a second. But we'll play like a 1-2 kind of thing, and we'll do 10% of each pot up to 4 shekels, and 4 shekels is like a dollar. Like 1 shekel is like a quarter. So it's really like not such high stakes or anything. But if you're taking like, even a dollar out of each pot, you have four tables running for, a good few hours of the night, we end up, making also between, $400 to $500 over the course of an evening. And, with that kind of money going to charity, you feel it quote unquote as the rake, but no one's bitter about it because, we're all giving money equally. It's not like just the winners, not like just the losers. Everyone, gets to play a part in, putting the money towards charity. So it's a really nice thing.
Good idea. Yeah, I've never thought of that, but the cash game. But that's a good idea too. If you've got players that want to do something like that, but they don't like tournaments, good idea, good suggestion.
And also, I mean, 10% could sound pretty high. You know, any poker room that takes 10% as a rake ain't going to survive for that long. But, you know, with charity in mind, and also we're playing for relatively low stakes, so it's really just a dollar. But, you know, you can put like a $2 limit or something like that on whatever the pot is. And, you know, you're usually playing, you know, between 20, 25 hands an hour. You know, you play enough tables, enough volume, and that sort of thing, it really does add up towards the end of the night. And that's a way of doing it, you know, which in, you know, in a cash game format. So, you know, with that behind us, you know, looking forward to the holidays, we do have a very special interview. After a quick word with our sponsors, we're going to be back with WSOP November Niner, Billy Pappas.
CardsChat.com is a friendly online poker forum where over 120,000 players from around the world gather to discuss poker. Want to improve your game? CardsChat has strategy discussion forums for cash games and tournaments. Want to practice playing online? CardsChat has special monthly events that all members can participate in and over $8,000 in monthly free rolls for qualified members of the forum. CardsChat also has the most up-to-date industry news to keep you abreast of what's happening in the world of, you guessed it, poker. You can also find CardsChat on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Go to cardschat.com or click the link on the homepage of the Top Pair podcast, toppair.net. It's free. Do it today.
It's hard to have a home poker game without playing cards, and there is a difference. Top Pair is proud to feature and recommend J-Design cards. Made of durable plastic, the right thickness for easy shuffling and dealing, plus a unique look with a pip placement, artistic backs, striking face cards, and a huge variety of colors. Give your home game players something to talk about by playing with the distinctive J-Design cards. Check the Top Pair homepage, toppair.net, for a link, or go to classicplayingcards.com and order yours today. Hey, look who we found hanging around. Let's get a mic for him and see what he has to say.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. This is the interview portion of our show. And we're very pleased, honored, and happy to have with us Billy Pappas. He's a 2014 November Niner, just finished at the World Series, finished in fifth place. Whether you've watched the broadcast or read about him on the news, he is a face, a voice, and a personality that you will absolutely remember. Billy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Cool.
Great to have you on board.
Thank you.
So, you've been interviewed in a lot of places, a lot of outlets, and we've done our research, so we've got a little bit more of some in-depth questions for you, and hopefully our listeners will learn some things about you that they don't necessarily know. You have, you know, you've stolen people's hearts. You are the people's champion. You know, seems like a lot of recreational players, home game players, like listeners, you know, in our audience rooting for you. You know, everyone knew you're the lone amateur at the table. Can you describe, you know, now that it's behind you, what's that feeling like of going from who's this guy to, oh, Billy Pappas, you know, now you're famous? You know, what's it being, you know, like now that you're in the public sphere and doing all these interviews for the last month?
It's a pretty good feeling to get recognized for not just like my game, but you know, my actions on the table, and you know that everyone says that I look like a pretty good guy, and I'm just getting a lot of recognition, and they like my aura at the table and stuff like that, the way I present myself. So it's cool to get known for something like that and not just playing, you know.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, and like, you know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, are you used to it at this point?
No, it's, you mean being famous or something?
Sort of, yeah. Uh-huh.
I still don't feel like I'm famous or anything, but, I, for example, went to a Celtics game and I got recognized a couple times. Oh, and, wow. I got stopped and people actually seemed pretty excited. to meet me, and they took pictures, and yeah, that it's pretty cool. Actually, I enjoy it a lot.
Well, sure, you were on TV, you know, you're that guy.
Yeah. Well, you were at a Celtics game too. So.
Right. Yeah, I didn't expect it to be like that, like to get randomly stopped and recognized in random spots, but it's pretty awesome, to be honest.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool. It looks like you said that you used to play with your buddies back in the day, and that's kind of where you got started, was playing with people, a little tournament that one of your buddies turned into, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. Did you have a regular home game back in those days?
It more started when I was even like 15 or 16. I in Lowell here, we play a couple of card games like 45s and Killer. And then I just started playing Hold'em and some weird kind of poker games with my buddies. And that's how it really started. And then, yeah, online.
Is this pre-Moneymaker then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Moneymaker had nothing to do with it. More like my buddy hit a pretty good score online. He turned $1 into $27,000. And that's kind of what made me stick to poker.
So did you jump into online at that time, or did you still play some just regular games with buddies, or did that kind of laser focus you?
It was more online. I mean, I think anyone around that era learned online. It's that you could just pump out so many hands, and it was a great way to learn, you know? So in 2004, yeah, it was more online.
Mm-hmm.
And has your game of choice been Hold'em mainly, or?
Online, I always did better in Pot Limit Omaha, and I don't really think I'm a good Pot Limit Omaha player or anything, but I just always was more successful in that style of play for some reason.
Hmm. Interesting. And
tournament,
it's like the
Pot Limit Omaha, by the way.
Uh-huh. So those guys that you started playing with all those years ago, do you still get together with them once in a while?
No, I haven't played with them. I actually was talking to one of them last night, the kid who kind of really got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to get a hold of them, and you know, some of them were saying like, oh, well, you know, we played these little stakes. It was nothing real at all, you know, just kind of for fun with a little bit of cash. But it's just funny that I went from that to the World Series of Poker.
That's interesting, because like I remember after it hit the number 9, you had this 3-month break. As far as I, you know, have read and heard, you said that you would be playing with some friends to sort of prepare for that final table. And, you know, you did say that, you know, playing foosball, you know, you're very famous for being a foosball champion at this point. You know, it prepared you stamina wise, but in terms of the gameplay, did you actually play some with your friends and you feel like it helped you at all, or, you know, just sort of waded into it?
No, I didn't end up doing that. I was going to do like a simulation of the final tables where everyone had, you know, each other's chip stack and, you know, the same position and stuff. And I was going to do it at Foxwoods, actually, but they wanted to charge me. And I'm like, no, I'm all set. So I ended up doing a couple other things and just playing a couple tournaments here and there. So I don't think I prepared the best way, to be honest.
Wow, that's amazing. You think with the publicity of being a November Niner and knowing that you were going to be back on TV and doing interviews and that, you think Foxwood would have been beating a path to your door saying, yes, please come and prep at our site.
Hey, let's make an event out of this. You know, everyone come see Billy prepare for the World Series. That'd be, you know, something I'd attend for sure.
Yeah, I thought it would be a pretty good idea for them. I don't want to knock on them or anything. It sounds really horrible now, but... Yeah, I was just like, really? Okay, no, I'm all set.
You know, keep your money.
Yeah, when, it was straight.
When you pull a Mark Newhouse and make it again next year, so now maybe they'll do it. You know?
Yeah, or I'll go to a different place. Yeah.
I noticed, again, reading some of your bio information, that your dad was a professional golfer, and I know that takes a lot of focus and a lot of discipline, too. Did those traits kind of run in your family? And do you play golf? I know a lot of poker players love to play golf. That's kind of their second passion. So I didn't know if that's kind of a family trait from early on. You saw the focus and discipline that it took to become that, and that's kind of the trait you adopted? Or
No, I wouldn't say that. I did start out playing golf. I didn't stick with it. I'm actually not very competitive, so once it got like to the point where I thought he was pushing me, I kind of stopped. So for some reason it didn't translate, and it wasn't really the golf thing.
Do you play now just recreationally or for fun or anything?
Sir, I just play foosball, and I'm in a couple of basketball leagues actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Very into sports. Well, let's shift gears for a second. You know, ask you a specific question about the nine guys of the November nine. It, you know, at least to me, you know, from observing from afar, it seemed like, you know, the nine of you got along pretty well. You were talking to each other a lot, and you hung out a little bit prior to the final table. Is that, do you feel like that's something that helped you out a little bit? Did you understand, like, help you at the table? Did it, you know, help you understand the way they play? You become friendly with them, and then you pick up a couple things, and, you know.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's kind of weird that you say that, because I'm not sure how the others felt, but like I said, I'm not very competitive, but I should kind of see them like my enemies, right? Because these are the guys that I'm going to play to make $10 million. Like, why are they all friendly? And so it was kind of weird how to act, but yeah, we all got along, and I don't know if that was beneficial to me or not. I didn't necessarily pick anything up, but I'm not one to like see it that way anyways, to like say these guys are my enemy.
Right.
So it was kind of cool that we all got along, because I think I would try to get along either way.
Mm-hmm. No, it's like there's obviously this at the table and then, you know, away from the table or something.
Right, right. And even at the table, though, like, even throughout the whole World Series of Poker, I didn't really see any berating or anything, which is weird, because if you play a small tournament at, a local place, you always see people that are horrible to other people, right? Yet they're only playing for, you know, a couple $100, and here we're playing for $10 million and everyone's super friendly. It's just strange to compare it.
Did you get a sense that again, and I don't mean this in a real negative way or anything, but maybe a subtle way, that they didn't maybe take you quite as seriously, that, you know, that they were more pros, they'd had a lot more experience and been in a lot more high pressure and high stakes situations where, like you say, you're the kind of the everyman that was there. So did you pick up any of that vibe, that it's like, well, you know, you got here, you must have got lucky, and we're glad to have you, and you're a great guy, but, you know, we're when the rubber hits the road, we're not going to take that seriously?
I'm not sure. Well, I think they were treating everyone the same way. It seemed like everyone was friendly to the other person either way, and I didn't take it like that. I could feel it a little bit, I guess, but it wasn't too bad, and that doesn't bother me, because they're probably right.
Well, I don't know. Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. Right.
You're staying in touch with them? You plan on it? Right.
Yeah. For the most part, I played with Yurt a lot throughout the whole tournament. So this is just another thing. Like, even in between, not like he helped me or anything, but I did ask him some questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just about sponsorship and just some general stuff, and he was just really friendly. So everyone, like I said, seemed pretty friendly. Stevenson, he said he liked foosball. Mm-hmm. So we've always been saying that we need to play each other. And so I'll probably keep in touch with everyone. And Tony, actually, the day before, I talked to him quite a bit. I liked them all, and I'll probably end up keeping in touch with all of them.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So one of the other things that I read about you says at some point you said it was your dream to go and play at the World Series for like a decade. You'd always wanted to, and you watched it on TV. But again, correct me if I'm wrong here, at least according to what I read, you didn't know anybody except for Todd Brunson. Is that right?
That I played the whole tournament?
That's what I read. It says that you didn't know anybody except for Todd Brunson. Is that... did I misunderstand?
Any of like the high profile players or anything like that? You'd never really interacted with any of them except Todd?
The question I think that someone asked me was, did I play with anyone that I knew?
Oh, did you play at the tournament itself?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah,
I know, like, the old school, like, even I consider Phil Ivey, you know, because 2003, but, like, Marcel Luce, Lane Flack, John Jawanda, mm-hmm. all those guys. But I don't know anyone new, like, for example, Jay Cody or something. I just read about him, and he's a big name mm-hmm. now. Right. I still don't really know about these new guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, they know about you at this point. So maybe they'll come up to you and introduce themselves.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So how was it playing with Todd?
At the time, he was kind of short-stacked at the table and had to play pretty conservative, and he wasn't a big factor on the table. But he seemed pretty nice. Like, he was interacting, and he didn't seem like a bad guy at all. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience. He seemed like a nice guy.
Well, it looks like in the background, too, that you also used to be a poker dealer for a time, and that you enjoy dealers and talking to dealers and sharing war stories, I guess. You said you wanted to travel, but one of your goals after winning or coming away from the November 9 is that you wanted to maybe get back and do some more dealing. And it's kind of hard, I guess, for us to think with, you know, you've got that kind of a bankroll and that, why would you want to go back to taking the abuse from the, you know, the 1-2 no limit people and throwing cards and cursing and everything like that? What is it about dealing that really kind of trips your trigger?
I don't know. It's fun. Where I dealt, it was more like kind of a local. We had a bunch of regulars, and no one really would ever get mad at me or anything. I'm pretty good with people. So I just enjoy it, especially dealing tournaments. Cash, I would stay away from. But maybe dealing a couple circuit events or something like that, I think that would be fun a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. Maybe traveling a little bit.
Cool.
If you like to travel and you like to deal, I may be able to give you a hookup if you want to go on any of these cruises that have dealers, so you get to cruise and you get to deal on the cruises. I think to me that sounds like a lot of fun, but of course I'm not quite in the strata you are. But have you ever thought of doing that?
Yeah, that's kind of exactly like maybe a couple World Series events or like PCA, even a cruise event. Yeah. Anything that's a tournament style, I really do want to stay away from cash, like you said. I don't want people throwing stuff at me.
Mm-hmm.
Tournaments are much better because if they lose, they could get mad at you, but they have to leave. Cash, they could keep on getting at you for, you know, half an hour. So,
right. Well, I'll keep that in mind and maybe drop your name if the situation arises that I encounter some folks. So that's cool.
So, you know, with this bankroll, you know, not to, you know, be intrusive or anything, but you did kind of tweet out a picture a few days ago of, you know, a large sum of money. And I guess someone guessed it was around $300,000, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it was $15,000.
So this is, you know, this is you taking your payout or, you know, you giving to your backer or just to know what that was exactly. What was that picture?
Yeah, at the cage, my buddy wanted some gambling money.
Uh-huh.
And,
he wanted it in cash? Like, that's a little strange. Like,
yeah, that was kind of awesome, actually. I wanted to see it anyway, so it was pretty awesome. And actually, when I was doing my final payout, I wanted to take out $1 million in cash just to take a picture with it and see it. But, Yurt and Antoni was in the room, and I felt kind of embarrassed, so I didn't do it.
So you went with the check, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to see it. I was going to tell him to put it right back, but it would be kind of cool to take a picture or see $1 million.
I think in the Bellagio somewhere they have like under a cube, like a, you know, an actual $1 million by the old horseshoe. I don't know if they still have it.
Yeah. That's actually at Binion's. I've actually had taken a picture in front of that. In fact, that's a popular thing for people to come in and get their picture taken in front of $1 million.
Yeah, but Binion's. To have that million belong to you, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that it would come out, it would just be those bricks, and it would be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's been kind of 30 days or so since all that came to fruition. I know you said at the time that some of your goals was to, you know, you wanted to buy your mom a house and you wanted to set some money aside to give yourself a poker bankroll and wanted to buy a car. And how are you doing on those goals?
It's pretty good. It's tough though to go about it. I've been looking at a house And it's just weird because I just never had money, so I have no experience with any of this. So I'm just taking my time and trying not to make mistakes more than anything.
That's awesome.
Have you got yourself a car?
Nope, I'm still looking, and I'm still kind of planning on traveling, so it's hard. Like, if I buy these things, then I might not be home for 2 or 3 months at a time. It's almost like I don't know how to go about it. That's just all. Some of it would just be a waste.
Yeah, well, there's no rush, you know. So by all means, you know, it's good to take your time and good to have those goals set. So whenever you're ready, you know, you'll be, you know, with the good judgment calls.
Exactly.
Now you're still going to travel on the foosball circuit too, or is that something where you've been there, done that, and you're going to move on from
there? Oh, the foosball thing will probably never end. Not because of me wanting to play so much, as much as I've known these people for like 20 years. I've been playing since I was 7, so these people are really like a family to me. So I'll always go and see them and go to tournaments and hang out at least. So the foosball thing like will just never end.
Mm-hmm. So what's next on that? You know, is that going to mesh in with your travel plans? Is there exhibitions or tournaments or something in some far off places that you want to make sure you get to go to? Or?
There was something in February in England. It was some kind of promotion that me and my buddy from England wanted to do. So we might do that. And I'm a big soccer fan, actually, so I could catch an English Premier League while I'm out there. And then there's always tournaments in Germany and Austria, whenever kind of around that same area. So I'll always be okay with traveling and playing.
Cool. Well, beyond the felt itself is the whole issue of sponsorships and stuff. And I know I've seen you on LinkedIn. You know, you're actively pursuing sponsorships. You know, as far as I know, you got like DraftKings and you got 888. Did anyone else sign you in the end?
No. What I wanted to do was I did those two and I left a spot open for my backer. he owns Flight Hub in Canada, and I was hoping that he would make a patch, and we just didn't end up getting it done. I just wanted to do something for him, and he opened a new company in America, and it would have been kind of perfect, but it was a little bit too late, so the timing just wasn't right.
Okay. Well, what are your obligations as someone who's sponsored by both of those companies?
My obligations didn't go further than the World Series of Poker.
Oh, really? So and, it's like that's it. It's done at this point.
Yeah, I probably picked the wrong option. I'm kind of regretting it right now because I wasn't sure how much I would want to play poker after, or you know, if I'd want to take a break and how to go about it. So I could have picked a 6 month option, which I really am regretting now because I want to play so much. But but it was still pretty good deals, and they took care of me.
Nice.
Yeah, 888 especially, yeah. They were really lenient. I was a pain in the ass. they did good with me.
Well, I can't imagine, though, with your notoriety now that you've gotten, that people wouldn't very seriously consider any overtures that you made to them as far as, you know, some high-profile things and being a sponsor. Again, I'm a marketing guy at heart, and I just get tickled by this story because – you know, you didn't win the top or the top two or anything like that, but just because of your foosball story and your every man type of thing, I think you've got a lot of notoriety going there that probably the number six winner and the number four winner and the number seven, you know, winner doesn't have. You're definitely
you'll be one of the guys we remember, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So that's I think you're probably in the catbird seat when it comes to, you know, getting some deals if you want them.
I don't know. I don't know how. Let's see. I'm not sure if it's really like that. I don't know if it's because I just looked on Twitter and I'm just like, let's see how many followers the other guys have, and actually, pretty much all of them have more than me. So. Like, I have heard that I'm the fan favorite, and I kind of believe it because, like I'm the underdog. People root for the underdog. I always root for the underdog, so I understand it. And the amateur thing, obviously, and I'm a pretty good guy. So, mm-hmm. But then I look at like Bruno. I even looked at Antoni, and those guys all have more followers than me. And I'm like, am I really a fan favorite? It's hard to tell.
In America, maybe in America at least, you know, like you got their whole, you know, all the whole Brazilian nation was behind Bruno.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely stick together.
Yeah, I think fan favorite is a good term. I think that sums it up. That fan favorite, that's cool.
Cool. Well, I guess Bruce has one little bit of the off the wall question for you, okay, a little towards the end.
Yeah, you know, you always try to come up with questions that you think, well, you know, you've been interviewed dozens of times, and somebody's always going to ask it. And this is a quirky way my mind works, but. I know you're Billy Pappas, but your surname actually is, I guess it's 17 letters long. How do you pronounce the whole thing?
Papa Constantino.
Okay. And I play with some folks from Laotian descent that have got, you know, mile long last names too. And I've always wondered that when you've been in school and you're taking those timed tests, those standardized tests that you get every couple of years or every year. And the first thing they do is you have to fill in a circle. You know, for your first name and fill in a circle for your last name. Did you ever feel like by the time you'd filled in all those circles, like everybody else was on question 9 or 10 and you were behind the eight ball? What feeling did you have doing that? Like, come on, guys, give me a head start. You know, what the hell?
I did get a minus once for not spelling my whole name because I just wrote William Pappas. And yeah. Two, that my name wouldn't fit on those. It would go to Papakos Sant. And the I-N-O-U at the end wouldn't fit. So, yeah, that's a funny question.
I wonder if that caused the computer to tilt, you know, when it's like your full name doesn't match the name on the squares and they think something's up or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's a worry. Even like some credit cards, like it still won't fit.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
I do know from all of the live reporting guys, you were like a copy paste a lot, or like one of those auto completes when they were doing reporting on you. So it's just easier than, you know, 17. I mean, I have a 10 letter last name myself, so I know the difficulties, but 17, sir, wow, we bow in appreciation.
Thanks. I really should have just kept it just to be a pain in the ass, but. But people know me as Billy Pappas, actually some people do, and a lot even like in the foosball world until a couple of years ago a lot of people didn't know what my real name was. It's kind of funny.
Well, you ought to get into a home game there. You're in Massachusetts, yeah. Right, you know, find yourself a regular home game that you can go play in. Of course, I guess you're surrounded by casinos and card rooms and that, but, you know, we're the advocate for home games. There's nothing like getting together with a bunch of friends and playing some poker and shooting the shit and having some fun.
Yeah, I hear you. I actually do have one, so, yeah.
Oh, do you?
That I've gone to for a while, so it's kind of cool. And some of my buddies do play, so it's always, it's pretty easy to get games. And where I work, I always like playing there too. Everyone's super friendly, so.
Are they intimidated when you walk through that door and they know who you are and that? It's like, oh geez, I don't know if I want to play with this guy or not. Or I guess if they're buddies, they all just look way past that.
Yeah, I'm sure probably. It's more like, how did this guy make it to the final table? and I'm sure I'm going to ruin a lot of people's lives next year because of that. Oh, this guy is going to do it, so. Everyone's going to be finding ways to play the World Series of Poker. You know, they're going to tell their wives, oh, I'm better than this kid. Don't worry. So
well, it's still an experience, you know. If you can't just go only to win, you know. If you're putting, you know, plunking $10,000 down, then, you know, you can't be disappointed if, you know, you still went and you're there and you played with everybody. At least you gave it a shot. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You definitely need to experience this once in a lifetime. I mean, I don't know how great the experience would have been if I didn't make the money, which it still would have been awesome because the first day was just so amazing. But if you're looking out to do it, you definitely need to do it sometime.
Well, and again, you know, being the fan favorite, your story, your backstory in that does carry some similarities to the, you know, the Chris Moneymaker story too. So I think kind of what Robbie was alluding to is right. It might give another little injection into the main event of because it's, you know, the past years everybody was watching and it's like, yeah, I can never be there. You know, I mean, these guys are just so, you know, eat, breathe,
sleep,
you know, millions of games and things like they've got them back line. So you probably have restored maybe some hope for a few amateurs.
Look at that in a positive way.
Might have that possibility.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I hear you. I know that. I mean, I'm not trying to sound cocky or anything, but it's really good for poker if I won or something like that. I definitely understand that. It wouldn't be the moneymaker effect. It wouldn't be as effective as that, but it would be.
Oh, sure.
You know, it would be better for poker in general.
No, you don't have to win for it to be good for poker. You know, doing stuff like this and coming on top pair and, you know, being so friendly and, you know, to strangers and, you know, that sort of thing. That's in general a good thing for poker. And, you know, from what we've seen, what we've heard, you know, now over the last few minutes. So, you know, thanks, you know, for doing that and being good for us for poker, et cetera.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah. We appreciate you taking the time. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Before we leave you, is there anything else you'd like to say or bring up to our listeners?
No, I just want to thank 888 and DraftKings again for the sponsorship and again, like, just, I don't want to say follow your dreams. I don't like that term, but, you know, like, I feel like anyone could do it. I was really, really a poor kid before this. Like, I never had anything, so things can change, and just follow through.
Very cool.
Great advice. Okay. Well, thanks again, and we'll, you know, hopefully we'll get some feedback from our listeners, and we'll talk again.
Anytime. This is fun.
Keep it open.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Back in the mid-80s, it was Clara asking, "Where's the beef?" At the Card Room Poker Table, there's another food query made many times each day.
One outer. A humorous, peculiar, significant, or noteworthy story from the past poker home game.
Robbie, as everybody obviously knows, we focus on home games here on the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, and I do attend a lot of them, but every once in a while I'll break away, and Nevada isn't far from here, Las Vegas isn't too far from here, a couple of the border towns, Wendover and Mesquite, aren't too far from here. I'll break away and go play some poker in some regular card rooms. Mm-hmm. And two of the card rooms I get a kick at are in Mesquite. It's in the Eureka card room, and in Las Vegas, it's the Orleans,
mm-hmm.
Kind of off the strip. Still great card rooms with great people, but, you know, not the high-profile, glitzy, high-stakes,
right.
You know, stargazing type of card rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them are kind of almost attract a retired audience of regulars that mm-hmm. seems like it's almost a job for them. They come in every day and they sit down and they play low stakes. They play very conservative. Their main goal is to socialize and see what's going on. Their main goal is to rack up the comps.
Right.
And
exactly.
And get the money so they can be in the free roll or the bad beat jackpot. So it's almost a little way of life for them. And I think that's cool. And you get to know some of them, and they're interesting people, but it's interesting. A pattern is kind of observed because they come in at mid-morning, and they usually play, you know, until early or late afternoon, and they're getting comps for meals and everything like that. And mm-hmm. it seems like every day the number one topic isn't, you know, how you doing or how's your arthritis or when's your hip replacement. It's what's today's soup? So as each one comes in and joins the table, what's today's soup? That's their number one meal. They love to go get soup and bread and have it taken to the table with their comp. So that's the clarion call you hear throughout both of these poker rooms. What's today's soup? What's today's soup? Well, what's today's soup? Where can you find over 120,000 enthusiastic, friendly poker players ready to answer any poker question you have and willing to share their extensive experience and knowledge with you? At cardschat.com. And the best part, it's available for free. Cardschat also has a comprehensive strategy section to help you improve your game with hundreds of tips and examples, reviews of card rooms all over the globe, and the latest news and events from the poker world. Learn how to qualify for exclusive promotions, free roll tournaments that could put thousands of dollars in your pocket, and private members' game. visit cardschat.com to join the friendliest place to talk about poker, CardsChat.com, or click the link on the homepage of the Top Pair podcast, toppair.net.
Seat open, table one.
Hey, wait a sec. I know this guy. He sat on my left yesterday. Ugh, I wish I remember how he played.
You should have taken notes.
Oh, come on. I'm not bringing a notebook to the table. I'll look like a fish.
You don't have to. There's an app for that. Poker Notes Live. Notice a tell? Want to keep track of your live poker sessions? Use the Poker Notes Live app to tag and classify your opponents. Record your wins and losses, and improve your overall performance at the poker table. Poker Notes Live. Get it now on Google Play and the App Store. Don't ante up without it. Brought to you by CardPlayerLifestyle.com.
All the cards have been dealt for this episode of Top Pair. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and entertaining. Robbie and Bruce will be happy to have you join them for our next show. For a more in-depth look at the Top Pair Home Game Poker podcast, including access to past episodes, topics to be covered in the future, and links to information mentioned in the show, log on to our website, www.toppair.net.